Hello. My name's Adam. I'm right here. Just take a second and try to find me. Go ahead, look around. Can't do it? Oh, I'm not like Adam. Like Adam and Eve. I'm Adam. You know, the unit of matter that consists of a dense central nucleus surrounded by a cloud of negatively charged electrons. Well, you get the picture. You know, I'm right in front of your face, and I'm in everything, even the air you breathe. I just need a little help being seen, that's all. If you could go ahead and magnify me about 100,000 times or so, you might be able to catch a glimpse of me. You know, with how small I am and how infinitely huge God is, you as humans still sometimes need God magnified to be able to see him. Yes, it's true, he's in everything, so that you are without excuse. But some of you still walk around with a veil of darkness that clouds your vision. This is why you as believers are called to magnify Christ. Sorry it took me so long. You guys weren't bored, were you? Ha ha ha. Isn't that what we're called to do? I heard some guy speaking. I don't know who that was. Adam? We're called... This thing is huge, man. We're called to magnify Christ. So my question to you is this. What do you want out of this life? What's your existence, the reason for your existence in this place? I think a lot about that. I think, what do I want to be remembered for? What do I want my life to be about? Someone that loved like there was no tomorrow. Someone that went out on a limb trusting Christ in every area of his life. I hope so. Gosh, I hope so. It's something that I want to be working on every single day of my life. So, allow me, if I could, to paint you a picture. Really quickly. Those of you who have small kids or have had small kids will sympathize with me in this point. I'm sitting down on my couch. I got my legs kicked up on the coffee table, and I'm watching a movie. Now, I don't have TV. My wife hates when I say that because she says, well, we actually have a TV, but we don't have cable. We don't have cable, but I have a TV. Okay? So I got my legs kicked up, and I'm watching a movie. One of my favorite movies, Count of Monte Cristo. My favorite movie. And it's getting to the good part. It's getting to the part I love and then never fails. I hear the door creak open. And here they come down the hall like a band of raving lunatics. Those are my children. They're jumping, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're having a blast, and they come out. And they invade the living room. And it never fails that one will always stand directly in front of the television. Like that. 99% of the time, that person is my daughter, Jameson. I don't know why. She just stands right in front of it. And I have to go, Jameson, sweetie, get out of the way. Daddy's trying to watch. This is the good part. You don't make a very good window. And then I think to myself, that's something my dad would say. And I'm turning into my dad. That's scary, okay? But listen to this. We're like that. With Christ, we stand in the way and we block people's view of him. We don't make very good windows. We never have, and we never will. But you know what the sad part is? Is that they don't even know what they're missing. They won't be the ones telling you, hey, get out of the way because this is the best part. They'll continue on with their lives, oblivious to the fact that the best thing that ever happened to them, their reason for living, metaphorically, is on the other side of you. So what does this mean? It means sometimes we need to get out of the way, and we need to magnify Christ. And some of you might think, well, getting out of the way, that means I do nothing? Does that mean I just sit off the side and do nothing? No. In fact, by doing nothing, that's what's blocking the view. It means that in every situation, you look to magnify Christ. It's not that you give up, but you seek to show him to a world that walks in darkness. We take our personal agenda, our pride, and our selfishness, and we lay it down, not for us, but for him, the light of the world. Look at this verse. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater, and I must become less." Some of us live as though that verse says, "He should become greater, and I should become less." If your boss comes up to you and says, "Brandon, you must get this done." Not that anybody talks like that anymore. You must get this done. But you have to do it. You have to find a way to make it happen, right? In the infamous words of Ryan Strong, you got to get her done. Right? You have to. But what an amazing verse to remind us. It's short but sweet. He must become greater, and I must become less. It's easier said than done, isn't it? Speaking of magnifying something, what happens to something when it's magnified? Grows larger, it's more easily seen, it's better understood, and more easily believable. Now, before the age of microscopes, I don't know when microscopes were made, but before the age of microscopes, if someone came up to you and was like, "Hey, check it out, there's this atom, and it's in everything, and it's in the air you breathe, and it's in made up of everything, do you believe me?" People are going to look at you like, "You're crazy. What do you mean, atom in everything? No. Show me, and I'll believe you." Is not this world the same way with Christ? We tell them, "Listen, Christ is amazing. He's in everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at once. It's amazing." And they go, "What? Show me." This should be Christ in our lives. Show me. I've said this many times to my students, and I will say it to you, that the world is watching you. You might not think that they are, but they are. But they're going to notice something that doesn't look like everything else. What are they seeing with you? What are they seeing in you? They watch intently. You know, my family has season passes to Six Flags. We like to go there. I myself, personally, I don't like roller coasters. I don't like anything that goes in the air. I don't like anything that drops down. I don't like anything that spins around. So I go for the dolphin show. That's like, that's more my speed. That's more my speed. But really, what I really like to do is I like to people watch. You know, I got my dark shades on so they can't tell I'm looking at them. That sounds creepy, but that's really not really creepy. Just erase that one. But I watch the way parents interact with their kids. I watch the way a husband interacts with his wife or friends interact with each other. I'm intrigued by their actions. You are too. Most people are. I mean, come on, admit it. Are you a people watcher? Admit it? Yeah, exactly. It's Bill and Ryan Strong and me, I guess, is the only people. But it's kind of fun to watch how people act when they're oblivious as to who might be watching them, right? If you have small kids, you know, I'm in the store. I don't really go to the store with the kids much because that would lead to hair pulling out. It might be the rush hour store time. There's people all over the place, and your kid starts acting, and you're like, "Don't make me pull this cart over because I don't care who's around, okay? I don't care who might be watching me." But listen to this. Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What is your light? What is your light? That might sound like an easy question, but what is your light? It's Christ in you? Yeah. But how is it seen? Through how you magnify him. Through your actions. How you exalt him and how you become less. So that the world sees what you're doing and glorifies God because of it. You know, your actions say a lot about who you are. They say a lot about who you are. Because you can go and you can talk a big game, but are you backing it up with your actions, You can talk a big game, but are you backing it up? These people who don't have a chance to sit down with you and hear your heart are going to base their perception of you on what? Your actions. The saying rings true that perception is reality to those who have not been shown the truth. So now let's look at it just for a second, and let's look at the people of this world who are walking in darkness. They don't even know Christ. So this world, this place, is all that they have. It's all that they have. So they struggle and reach to find anything that will give them significance, anything that will give them a reason for living. But what about when they see you and you're magnifying Christ? What about when they see you? They're going to want what you have because it's a lot better than what they have. And I'm not trying to be an elitist or anything like that, but listen, people, God, Christ, he's at the top of the list. There's not anything above him. Kind of why he's sovereign, right? There's not anything above him. They're going to look at you and want what you have, but they're going to have no clue that what makes you different is not you at all. It's him. What makes you different is Christ. It's him working through you, Christ being magnified in your life so that they don't even see you, but they see him. I'll tell you guys a little story. I had this friend I used to work with. His name was Jonathan Peter Grellis. And I remember the first time I met him, I'm like, hi, I'm Paul. And he's like, I'm Jonathan Peter Grellis. And I'm like, we need to give you a nickname, dude, because no way I'm saying that. So I asked him, well, what about John? Can I call you John? I don't like John. Like, so I'm going to anagram your name and call you JPG for Jonathan Peter Grellis. He loved it, so worked for me. I didn't have to say it. This guy, mind you, this is before I was a believer. This guy had something that I didn't know what it was. He was kind to everybody. He was patient. He loved on everybody. And I kept thinking to myself, what does this guy have that I don't have? He's kind to everybody. I'm mean to everybody. He's patient. I'm impatient. Like, man, he's like my opposite. But what does he have that I don't have? He started asking me to lunch. Hey, you want to go to lunch with me? Sure. I'd go and eat lunch in my car. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. So he starts telling me these stories. Oh, man, let me tell you about this story. And he'd go off, and these stories were amazing. I was like, yes, this story's killer. The next day, he'd tell me another story. The next day, he'd tell me another story. I'm like, these stories are amazing. He goes, you know what? I'll bring in the book. You can borrow it. Okay. The next morning, he walks in. He puts the Bible on my desk. I'm like, what is this? He goes, this is where the stories come from. What? That Christmas, I asked for a Bible for Christmas. Not even knowing Christ. It was Christ working through him, magnified in his life, that caught my attention. And yeah, he was step 5 of maybe 50 that I needed to get me to the point where I realized my need for a Savior. But he was willing to do that. You have the power to do this as well, to be just like this. Why? Because you have Christ, and he gives you the strength. Check this verse out, 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. I think, thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to do the job that you've put before me. He didn't give you this job and go, this is what I want you to do. Go ahead and do it on your own and fail. He is giving you the strength to do the job set before you. That is grace, my friends, right there. So what on a realistic level does it look like to live a life that magnifies Christ? Pastor Bill talks about it, and I completely agree. One of the biggest challenges is our response when we don't have time to think, right? If someone sends me a scathing email, I can look at it and go, okay, I need to seek wise counsel, I need to pray, and I need to look up some large words that make me sound smart, and, you know, all right, I'm sorry about the infraction, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, we're good. But what about when you don't have time? What about when you catch someone stealing from you? What about when you go to pick your kid up from school and you see another kid hitting him on the playground? What about when you're stopped at a red light, someone's fiddling with their radio or texting, slams into your car? What then? What does it look like to live a life that magnifies Christ? Unconditional love, encouragement, and courage, just to name a few. It takes doing what others won't. It takes doing what others won't. Swimming against the current. I talk about this life being a raging river, and every morning, ladies and gentlemen, that you step out of your bed, you step directly into the middle of that river. And God calls you to swim upstream. He does not give you a little inflatable raft and an umbrella drink and say, enjoy the ride down the river. He does not do that. He says, you know what? I want you to swim against the current. But what's 1 Peter 4:11 say? He's going to give you the strength to do it. Is that not encouraging? It takes living a life with purpose, other than fulfilling your selfish desires. And I know, trust me, I have a bunch of selfish desires that are really nice, and I really like them. But it takes living a life with a purpose and saying, you know what? I want to do His will, not my own. It isn't easy, but it comes down to why you were created. Back in the beginning, when God decided He wanted to make you, it's time to fulfill your potential, fulfill your purpose, and get after it. It's going to take commitment, yes, probably more than you're used to live with a godly purpose, to be ready to speak Christ at a moment's notice, just like JPG was. He wasn't afraid. I was a long hair, metal, rawr guy. And he came up and he spoke Christ to me. Bam. I don't even know. I'd be like, huh, okay, that guy might hurt me. I was a little small, but still. And to love as God loves. So, we love true love, right? To love as God loves. We love true love, right? We're infatuated with it. We write books about it, and we direct movies about it, right? And so, my wife totally wrote me into this one. It's The Notebook. Notebook. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to paraphrase this. I don't really remember it all. But there's this girl, and she's of high class, and there's this guy, and he's of low class, and they have this love, and it's true love. But then he goes away. I can't remember why, but he goes away. And then she's, oh, maybe he's dead, maybe he's not. So she marries another guy, and she's in love with him. But then he comes back, and he's back. And then she's torn, and there's this love, but there's her true love. And so she leaves her love, and she gets with her true love. And she's with him, and blah, blah, blah. And so, so I was roped into that. I did cry a little, but that's beside the point. No. But we look for that true love, don't we? Here's the thing. It's not just in movies. But it's not here to hear, here to hear. It's here to hear. True love can come only from God to you. God to you. Listen to this. God gives us love so that we can take it and give it to somebody else. He gives us love so that we can take it and give it to somebody else. To show love in every situation, regardless of our personal feelings, our desires, but to give love in every situation. God loves without any consideration about the loveliness or the merit of the object. Take a long look at that. God loves without any consideration about the loveliness or merit of the object. Who are we to choose who we give it to? To look at you and say, Brandon, love you. Luella, I'm sorry, I don't really love you. Mike, I love you. PB, no, don't love you. You in the back, I'll give you a little bit, but I'm going to hold the rest for myself. What? I think in my head when I think that, I go, how dare we? How dare we, when we're freely given love, we hoard it to ourselves? How dare we do something like that? Can you, knowing this, can you be excited about what God wants for you? Can you be excited about showing people their true reason for living? Can you be excited about living with an eternal purpose and not just a fleshly or worldly one? We have a great opportunity as believers to get out of our comfort zone and affect this world for Him. But it has to start with you. It has to start with your commitment to God, not just on Sunday mornings and in life groups. And yes, you should be committed to those. But I'm talking every day, every minute, every action, and every word that comes out of your mouth. This is big time commitment. Are you ready? The answer is this: you are, because you have Christ. But you have to take the steps. We're talking about faith and action together. To walk by faith and to consider God in everything that you do. Changed my life when I started doing that. Yes, I'm a human. And yes, I'm fallible. And yes, there are times that I don't. And I would have really liked to. But is it on your mind? You'll find that when you sit there and you think about it, I'm getting into this situation. What would God think or say about what I'm going to or not going to do? It'll change your mind, and it'll change it in a heartbeat. This magnifies God. So I want to show you some pictures really quickly that I got. Marv, you ready with the pictures? Show the first one. Know what that is? No? It's a butterfly's egg. Kind of looks like a snowflake, almost. Pretty cool. Go to the next one. Those are fly eyes. Kind of creepy, huh? That's pretty nasty. Sorry about that. The next one. Okay. Listen to this. This is a hydrothermal worm. Now, I found this picture online. Listen. I didn't look up what a hydrothermal worm is. All I know is it needs to be magnified, and it's a monster, apparently. Okay? That's what I know. I know that wherever it lives, I don't want to live. Wherever it is, I want to kill it. I don't want it anywhere. Next one. This is a mosquito. For some reason, this reminds me of a hippie. I don't know why. I don't know why. Like, peace, love, and blood. I don't know why, but it's, when I saw it, I'm like, it's a hippie mosquito. And then the last one. You know what these are? Those are your eyelashes. Yep. That's what I did. The minute I saw that, I'm like, I need to comb my eyelashes. Those are kind of nasty. But these are things you wouldn't have been able to see without magnification. Not like that. They're brought to life and revealed, and we see them for what they really are. As I said earlier, we don't make very good windows. We never have, even as small children, and we never will. But you know what? We make great magnifying glasses for God. We make great magnifying glasses for God. So, will you live in a way that makes your desires fade and the will of God take over? Will you swim upstream and do what others won't? To live a life that's found only in and through Him. You're called to do this. You're called to do this. This life is not meant to skate through. We're not meant to grab the inner tube and the umbrella drink and sail on down the river. That's not meant what we're meant for. We're here to reach the lost. We're here to make a difference, and it starts with magnifying Christ in every area of your life. This is it. We all have an eternal purpose. We just have to start living like it. We all have an eternal purpose. We just have to start living like we believe that. So how can I speak more of Him and less of me? It might look a little bit harder now that we talked about it, but be encouraged. God is calling you to more than just existence in this place. Be the magnifying glass. Set the standard in your home, with your children, in your work, and in your school. Seek conversations that point to Him and glorify Him. Show others what they don't even know that they're missing. Their true reason for living. This is living in a way that magnifies Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this time. Lord, help us to do what others won't. God, to be that representation wherever we are, in our schools, in our homes. Lord, so that they will look at us and what we're doing, and they will glorify you because of it. God, just be with us. Help us to remember, Lord, that you give us the strength to do what you've called us to do. And God, that we don't want the umbrella drink, and we don't want the raft, Lord. We want to swim upstream to be the example every single place, Lord. Help us to stand courageously as men and women of Christ and say, Lord, I want to do your will, and not my own. Let my life be the proof of your love. In Jesus' name.